We're going to talk about that a little bit today. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to look at two verses here. Hebrews 13, 20 and Hebrews 13, 21. Before we do, let's have a word of prayer together and then we'll read our text. Heavenly Father, so thankful to be here today. Thankful to see these that are visiting. Thanks for our friends that have come down from San Antonio. Thanks for all of our regulars that are here once again. Thank you most of all that you're here. Amen. We appreciate knowing from your scripture and knowing just from our acquaintance and association with you that we are in the presence of our Lord God. Your spirit is here, the Lord Jesus Christ amongst us. We take great comfort in that and we're so very, very thankful. Now today, Father, we pray that you'll fill me with your Holy Spirit to deliver the message that you have provided from the Scripture and fill us all with your Holy Spirit so that we can receive it and understand it and examine our own hearts before the words of God and let you reprove and correct and instruct us, Heavenly Father, and help us to live in the righteousness that you have provided. We're so thankful for your truth. Father, we also pray today for Hope Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio, and Pastor John Marshall. Continue to bless that church with strength, with growth, with joy, with the opportunity to be able to do your will and know that they're doing your will. Heavenly Father, we pray they'll continue to shine brightly for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ among those folks that are there. We ask you to do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. The Bible says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Now, I'd like to read that passage with you one more time because this is what we're preaching today. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ." Who is he? That great shepherd of the sheep. How did he become the great shepherd of the sheep? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What's God to do? Make you perfect in every good work. To do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. How does he do it? Through Jesus Christ. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Getting right into the text, the first thing we notice is this. God works in you through Jesus Christ. Notice that sentence again starts up there in verse 20. Now the God of peace, right? The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. What is he going to do? He's going to make you perfect in verse 21. In every good work to do his will, watch it, working in you. Do you see that? The God of peace working in you. How does he do it? Through Jesus Christ. God works in you through Jesus Christ. That's very important to understand. God, before you are ever saved, may work to bring you to him. He draws people to him. There are people who have testified that they could see evidence that God was doing something in their lives before they had Jesus Christ. In their lives. And God does that because He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't work in you, right? Unless He's working in you through Jesus Christ. That's very important. Look, you must be saved before God can be working in you through Jesus. So, first thing we have to cover then is, are you saved? Do you know Jesus Christ? We'll make it simple because I realize there are many, many folks here that are saved, but perhaps there's somebody amongst us this morning who is not yet saved. You need to understand this. You can probably give me testimony, as many have, where you have seen God do this, that, and the other thing for you by way of provision, maybe protection, okay? But if you don't have Jesus Christ, God's not working in you. Because he works in you through Jesus Christ. How are you saved? Well, in this passage here, what did the Bible say? Verse 20, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that Jesus Christ died for you? And after he died, he was laid in a grave for 3 days, and then God raised him again. That's the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Bible defines is the gospel. Not only is it the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but how did Jesus die? He shed his blood. Notice, verse 20, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that's resurrection, who is now that great shepherd of the sheep. What did he do? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus Christ shed his blood that you might be saved. He needed to shed his blood so that you could have forgiveness of sins. Those sins in you have to be paid for. I was listening to a preacher this morning on the way to church, and he said, do you understand if there was any other way that you could be saved apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shedding of his own blood to save you, God was very cruel to kill his own son. Why would he do something that extreme if there's another way that you could be saved? The preacher said, be reasonable. God would have never done that to his son if there was another way. There is no other way. There is no other name given among men, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. You've got to have Jesus in you so that you then have a connection with God by which God can then work through you. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant modifies that great shepherd of the sheep. I'm not going to ask you to turn to these passages, but I want you to listen. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the Lord talks about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood. And he says this, Christ suffered for us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, by whose stripes ye were healed. Why? For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You don't become one of his sheep, and he doesn't become your shepherd until you receive what he has done for you at Calvary. Jesus Christ said, I am the good shepherd. You know that. You've heard that before. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Do you remember that part? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life, listen, that I may take it again. There was always the anticipation that if he died, he would rise again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down to myself, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. And that's how he became the great shepherd of the sheep. If you want a shepherd, you got to be a sheep. And for you to be a sheep under him as your shepherd, you've got to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Paul was talking to the elders of Ephesus, and he said, Feed. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, listen, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Today, in this church building right now, if there's anybody here that's lost, here's the truth. Listen very carefully. There are a bunch of us in here who are blood-bought sinners, and there may be somebody in here who's not. And if you're not a blood-bought sinner, you need to be. You need to be. Now, I could preach the gospel and try my best through exhortation to bring you by shame and guilt under the conviction that you need to get saved, bless God. But if the Holy Spirit's not doing the work, what am I doing up here screaming and yelling and kicking over the pulpit? What you heard is Bible. What you heard is truth. You need to respond to the truth. Need I say more? No. Now, you've lived among people, and I have too. Many people credit God for things like their talent. You know, if it weren't for God, I could never do this. For their performance, they'll get into a church worship service and they'll stand here before a microphone and say, what I'm about to do, I'm about to do for the glory of God. Boy, do you talk like that at home? It really sounds like this is getting ready to be a performance. And they'll credit God with that or for their good fortune. But listen, you never hear them or you don't often hear them mention the name of Jesus. You know what that is? For many who thank God, Jesus isn't their Savior. He's not your shepherd until you're one of His. If God is truly working in you, He's doing that work through Jesus Christ. If Jesus isn't doing that work in you, God is not working in you. You're just taking His name in vain. He said, why is that so? Because power comes from Him. And He's got to be there. I mean, for instance, we have a little device at home. I'm just thinking of something that's battery powered. Got a little device at home. It looks like a tennis racket, but it kills mosquitoes. Some of y'all have seen that. And I took it out the other day and I didn't kill any mosquitoes. The mosquitoes were trying to kill me. And I opened it up. You know what the problem was? No battery. I put that battery in there last night. Taped that down so it wouldn't come loose. Put my hand on the button. Walked outside. Ah, yeah. You know what that is? Power. I killed about 15 this morning when I was walking the dogs. I'd see them coming around. Pow! You'd hear it crackle and... Okay, I've got to go off that subject. You guys will be all thinking about mosquitoes. You won't be thinking about... I'm telling you, if you don't have Jesus in you, you don't have power in you, and anything you're giving credit to God for, you're doing yourself. You get Jesus in there, you will immediately recognize the difference between what you've been doing and what He begins to do inside of you. And there's a major difference in those two. You got to have the juice, brother. And that comes from Jesus. All right, so first thing that we notice here, God is, in verse 21, working in you through Jesus Christ. Now, if you're saved, God's working in you. Jesus is in there. What does He do? Second thing, God works in you not only through Jesus Christ, but God works in you, listen, to make you perfect. To make you perfect. Look at the text again. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, watch it, make you perfect in every good work. First thing on the list, once He's in there, His desire is to make you perfect in every good work. Notice He said perfect in every good work. None of us here today is deceived into thinking that to be made perfect is to be made sinless. That's not what He's talking about. He's making you perfect for the work that He wants you to do. In every good work. He's perfecting you for the work that He wants you to do. Works in you to make you perfect. You know something? We all like the idea of being perfect. Now, I was talking to a nephew of mine, and he was in a shooting contest the other day, and he was working with his coach, and he got into that shooting contest, and he shot straight. He shot perfectly. And when he was telling me about it, he had a big old smile on his face. We like being perfect. And we probably, most of us, like the idea of doing good work. But here's the problem. With God, all the good work is not always good. Let me say it again. With God, not all the good work is good. You say, what are you saying? Sometimes, in order to make you perfect, God has to do something in your life that you will look at and say, this is not good. We often don't realize that good work involves suffering. You're in Hebrews, so you don't have to go very far to get to Hebrews chapter 5. Look at this. Hebrews chapter 5. Who's Jesus Christ? Son of God. Did Jesus ever sin? All right, then perfection in the Bible doesn't have to do with sinlessness because he's already sinless. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he, what's the next word? Suffered. And being made, what's the next word? Perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus had to suffer to be made perfect. When God is working in you to make you perfect in every good work, sometimes he has to do something in you that you will not like. Jesus Christ suffered reproach. He's the creator of the world. He made the people he came to save. He suffered dishonor. He suffered ridicule. He suffered death on the cross. His Gethsemane, his trial, his crucifixion. Listen, these were brutal. And on top of that, he suffered the complete wrath of God poured out on him for all of our sins. Right? But if it hadn't been for what he did, we wouldn't be saved today. Amen. Jesus Christ did a good work. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ did the best of the good work that could possibly be done. But in order to accomplish it, he had to suffer. Paul the Apostle came on the scene. He wasn't the apostle when he started. His name was Saul. He was one bad dude. What he was trying to do basically is stop the Holy Spirit's work in the lives of the disciples. And he took it on as a one-man operation. I mean, he had cooperation from other people, obviously. But I'm telling you, he was one bad guy. And then he's on the road to Damascus. And the Lord appears to him and saves him. And he goes to Damascus and he's hanging around there. And God appears to a man named Ananias and he said, I want you to go over there. I want you to talk to Paul. I want you to baptize Paul. He's a chosen vessel for me. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, listen. For I, God's talking, will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I want to ask you something. After Paul got saved, did he do good work? Started churches all over the place. Followed the Holy Spirit, endured every kind of hardship that a man could endure. That man suffered at the very hands of the people that he was trying to liberate through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did good work. As a matter of fact, he even said in his own testimony, comparing his work with the work of the apostles, other apostles, that by the grace of God, he abounded in his work even more than they did. He did the best. Right? God said, I'm going to work in you. I'm going to work in you to make you perfect in every good work. And some of that good work that he's going to get you to do is going to put you in a place where you're going to suffer. You'll be made perfect and the work will be good. You say, well, that was Paul and that was Jesus Christ, but that wouldn't be us. Well, you're in Hebrews 13, right? You're not very far from 1 Peter chapter 5. Why don't you just flip over there real quick? Just a few pages to the right. 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have, help me with the next word, how long? A while. How long is that? Long as it takes. After that you have suffered a while, make you what? You know what? You know when he said right here? He said, the God of peace make you perfect. You don't get there without suffering. His son didn't, Paul didn't, and you won't either. Make you perfect. What? After you've suffered a while. But what will it accomplish? Establish, strengthen, settle you. Yes, it's good work. Amen. It's good work.
That's right.
It's just you don't like it. And I get it. We don't just go like, oh boy, today I get to suffer, glory to God. It's like, you know what? Because suffering is involved in God's work in us, most people settle for much less than perfect. Right? A lot of Christians today are good with mediocre. You know what? It's permeating our society. A participation medal is good. I don't care. I think one of the worst things happening to American Christians is that we have it way too easy. We're enduring very little for Christ's sake. Paul said, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in persecutions, in distresses, in necessities, for Christ's sake. Amen. Yeah, maybe you bump into a distress, most of which has been brought on to yourself. Bump into a necessity because you borrowed too much money or overspent your budget. But persecutions, reproaches, infirmities for Christ's sake, not so much. Sadly, God's not getting much good work done with his Christians today. Agreed? And you know, part of the reason is we run from suffering. There is medication for every pain known to man. Emotional pain, physical pain, surgical pain, blah, 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 just keep going. There's medicine for it. And so when the least bit of suffering comes our way, we're crying out to God for pain relief. And it's hard for him to get the perfection done in the good work because we're not willing to endure what it takes to get there. Correct or no? Yeah, so God is working in you, first of all, through Jesus Christ. And secondly, God works in you to make you perfect. And that's going to involve suffering. The first is going to involve salvation. You got to be saved. The second is going to involve some suffering. And like you, I'm not one of these guys that wakes up in the morning and, oh, where can I suffer for Jesus today? Can't wait. I don't like it either, but I do. But you know something? Some of us have lived with Christ long enough, and we've seen him take us through some episodes in our lives that were tough. And we came out on the other end of those and looked back and say, if it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't be where I am today. Thank God for that valley. And it's good work. It's good work. All right, so God works in you through Jesus Christ. God works in you to make you perfect in every good work. Next, God works in you, look, in verse 21, to do his will. Make you perfect in every good work. Look, to do his will. May I tell you something? You already know this, some of you, but we all need to be reminded, God doesn't work in you to do your will. And a lot of young Christians, I say a lot of young, I've also met some that are up here around, you know, my neck of the woods. And they want God to do their will. And it's a constant struggle. If you're doing your will, you know what? Things may be going your way. If you're doing your will, you may even be successful. If you're doing your will, things may be good. Oh, look at all this. But it's not God that's getting that stuff done if you're doing your will. God gets a lot of credit for a lot of things that men have done. I think we justify that. Land a good deal, be real successful on a thing, you know, accomplish something. We're like, wow, thank you, God. We do that to sort of put the addendum on it. Like, I don't want to not thank you because just in case you didn't do it. Or you know what I mean? Listen, if God did it, you'll know it was God.
Amen, brother.
It is a fact. Here's the sad thing. If it's you doing your will and trying to get God involved in it, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, just about everything you've done is going to go up in smoke, and you're going to be shocked. God help us. When Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said to them in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." God, listen, when you have Jesus Christ in you, you have God in you. And He's working in you to make you perfect in every good work. But He's also working in you to do His will. And we are people, and when we first get saved, we are going to fight God for His will versus our will. You're just going to. And that's why Jesus had to tell His disciples from the very beginning, take up your cross and follow Me. Somebody has described that our cross is the place where God's will crosses our will. And I think that's an accurate description or some way for us to help remember. He says to us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect," listen, "will of God." God's will is going to require sacrifice from you. You're going to have to put down your will and pick up His will. You got to take up your cross. That's why people like Bob Jones Sr. said the most successful person is the person who finds out what God's will is and then does it. And you know, there are just a lot of people that are not content to do God's will. They want God to work in them to accomplish their will. I did it. Yeah. You know, you get tired of wrestling with God over that after a while. Amen. You finally just wake up in the morning and say, "Kill me." Yeah. Paul said, "I die, like, just kill me, because I've been nothing but a pain in the neck for you. I'd rather be dead and let you live your life in me than to be alive and you be wrestling, right?" But at first, it's all about your ambition. It's all about what you want to accomplish. It's all about your occupation. It's all about your life. I get it. I've done the same thing. I'm just telling you, the sooner you figure out God's trying to work in you to do your will and you lay it down so that He gets to do what He wants to do rather than what you want to do, you're going to start growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to find out something. His will is a whole lot better than yours.
Amen.
Just telling you. God works in you to do His will. He works in you to make you perfect in every good work, but that's going to require some suffering, and we're averse to suffering. And God works in you to do His will, but that's going to require some sacrifice, and we're averse to sacrifice, naturally. But that's not all that's in the text. He says here, God works in you, verse 21, to make you perfect in every good work. Number two, to do His will working, and then watch this, working in you, that which is well-pleasing in His sight. God works in you that which is well-pleasing in whose sight? His sight. Last time I checked, you and I don't usually see things the same way God does. You ever notice that? I'm reading over there in Isaiah chapter 53 that passage on the suffering servant where it describes how God brought Jesus Christ to the place where He was crucified. And Isaiah chapter 53 verse 10 says, listen to this, "It pleased God to bruise Him." What kind of God is that? I mean, holy, just, righteous, of course, loving, of course. But didn't you at some point say to your child when you had to discipline your child and mean it, "This is going to hurt me worse than it hurts you"? I did. I meant it. Because everything about, nurturing our children is to take care of them. We love to see the smiles on their faces. We don't like to see the tears on their eyes. But there are times when we have to bring that discipline, and that brings tears, and we get sad, and it hurts us. In chastisement, the Bible says we did that for our pleasure. I never found much pleasure in that. I never found any pleasure in that. I found pleasure in the result, but not in the action. And that verse of Scripture that I just quoted said, it pleased God to bruise him. You know, Jesus Christ had a conversation with his Father before the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, and three times he said, do it some other way. Let this cup pass from me. He did say, not my will but thine. That was the point before, and it required sacrifice. But is there any other way that you can be pleased to accomplish this without that cross? And you know what? God didn't change it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Here's something that's interesting about the Lord. The Lord is well pleased. The Lord is well pleased with sacrifice. The things which were sent from you, Paul said to the Philippians, an odor of a sweet smell, listen, a sacrifice, acceptable, well pleasing to God. In Hebrews chapter 13, where we're reading, look over here at verses 15 and 16. By him, therefore, 15 and 16, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Hard to do continually when you're suffering. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is what? Well pleased. He's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. In the first place, for God, for Jesus Christ to work in you, for God to work in you through Jesus Christ, take salvation. For God to work in you to make you perfect, take suffering. For God to work in you to do his will, it takes submission. You got to give up on yours and do what he said. And for God to work in you that is well-pleasing in his sight, that's going to take some sacrifice. Say, really? Yeah, let me give you an example of one. Turn over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Don't lose your place where you are. We still refer to the text, but 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul, when he wrote to the Hebrews, said, to do good and to communicate, forget not. He wasn't talking about texting. No, he was talking about giving. To communicate, like Paul was writing here, Philippians chapter 4 says, it's giving and receiving. And he said, don't forget to do that. Let me give you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. All right, so the churches in Macedonia are getting ready to do something, but they can't do it apart from the grace of God. Like I said, when God's working in you, it's his power. It's his grace that allows you to accomplish it. All right. Look at verse 2. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And unto us by the will of God. Those guys sacrificed greatly. They probably had less than the poor saints in Jerusalem they were trying to help. But by the grace of God, in their great trial of affliction, in their deep poverty, they gave, and then they would take no for an answer. Paul said, hey, you guys need to keep that. And they entreated Paul and would not accept it. They sacrificed that others would have something. And with that, God was well pleased. You see, it takes God working in us to sacrifice. God had to work in Jesus Christ to accomplish what happened at Calvary. Here's the deal. When God works in you, there's going to be salvation to make you His sheep, suffering to make you perfect, submission to do His will, and sacrifice to be well-pleasing to Him. And I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't sound like modern Christianity. Get this. When God's working in you, God's working on you. When God's working in you, God's working on you. That's what He's doing. And you see a lot of people today professing things that God is doing, but you don't see this kind of work going on in their lives. I say theirs. We have been the same way. Until we start to submit to His will, till we're willing to sacrifice, till we're willing to suffer. Listen, if the things we've talked about today haven't happened in your life, or if they aren't happening in your life, God's trying to work in you, but you're not cooperating with the work He's trying to do. And I don't tell you that to scorn you or reprove you or to fuss at you or to make or shame you or to make you feel guilty. It is like a litmus test. It's like a barometer. I want God to work in my life.
Amen. That's good.
I want to do His will.
Amen.
I want to be perfect in every good work. I want Him to be well pleased in my life. And if I have to suffer a little for that, if I have to sacrifice something for that, if I have to submit to His will for that to happen, so be it. Because it always works out better with God.
That's right.
Say, well, I'm afraid of those things. I understand, but that is a loving Creator, a loving God. He sacrificed His own Son for us. We can trust Him with these things. If men will sign up for the military knowing they're going to have to go through boot camp, knowing they're going to have to go through hardship, and they're willing to do it for a country, for a flag, should we not be willing to do it for Jesus Christ and God?
Amen.
Am I a soldier of the cross? You know, modern Christianity is far, far, far from these things we've discussed today. Today's Christians are pleasure seekers, self-loving, carnal babes. And you can see why God said to the church of the Laodiceans, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're lukewarm. Not you, but maybe you. Wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked? Just because you have a little money in the bank, you think everything's okay? It's not. You know what? The Laodiceans may be rich down here, but they're bankrupt in heaven. And in heaven, they'll have little to no reward, and God never intended it that way. You don't want to be that kind of Christian. You say, well, there you look over there and say, well, they have it so easy. They only have to go to church 1 hour a week, and 45 minutes of it is a song program, and then they get a little counseling about psychology from the pastor, and everybody walks out with a smile on the face. Why can't we have a church like that? Because that's not God's church. Like that. Listen, if you yield to God and let Him work in you the way that He works, you're going to be perfect.
Amen.
You're going to be successful. And you're going to be pleasing to God. And the end of this verse 21 says about Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever, amen. You see that? He's not the only one that's going to get some glory. Turn to Romans chapter 8. And. We said, well, down here I have to take it on the chin. Yeah, but wait. Just wait. Romans chapter 8. Verse 17. Verse 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Who here today can raise your hand right now and say, preacher, I'm a child of God, and the Spirit of God's bearing witness with my spirit that I'm saved. All right. Then he says in verse 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Condition, if so be that we suffer with him. For what purpose? That we may be also, what are the next two words? Glorified together. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in whom? Us. He said he's going to get that glory forever and ever, and he's willing to give you a little of it too. Because you let him do in you what he desired to do. Suffer down here. Why would you care what the world thinks of you? Suffer down here. Why would you care what the world does to you? Sacrifice down here, you can't keep it anyway. He's no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's what Jim Elliot said. This doesn't sound like the world, but it sure sounds like God.
Amen.
Telling you he's got a plan.
Yes.
And he wants you to get the full benefit of his plan, but he wants you to trust him.
Amen.
Let me work in you, he says.
Amen.
Get saved.
Yes.
Let me make you perfect. Let me make you perfect. I'm the potter, you're the clay, it'll hurt, but you like the result. Let me get my will done in you. Submit. I'm smarter than you are anyway.
Amen. Preach, brother.
And let me let you do something that's well-pleasing to me. And when you get to heaven and you see the smile on my Father's face that you put there because of your sacrifice, and you get some of the glory that he's going to give with me, you'll be like, wow, I sure am glad I did it your way.
Amen.
That's Christianity. Father, we're asking you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep us very encouraged about what we've heard today. These are very real things. This is your Christianity. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. During this invitation, if God's spoken to you in a way, you want to talk with God about what he's talked with you about, you can talk to him right there in your seat. You can go home and work it over with him. Many, at times, want to come to an altar. Work of the Spirit of God is here, it's now. Don't resist if that's what he's showing you to do. Because he wants to commune with you. He wants you to get what you're getting in this message today down deep in your heart. Change your life. If you're here today without Christ, you need to be saved. You've been putting it off for a while. Why? Don't do that anymore. If you're not saved here today, you need to get saved. Anybody right now, just raise your hand right quick, put it right back down. Nobody else is looking around. Preacher, I'm not saved, but I'd want to be today. Put your hand up, put it right back down. We'll talk in my office afterwards, and you can receive Jesus Christ. Come on, you got the courage? He died naked in front of his own mother for you. You can't take him down in this hell-bound world? What's wrong? Take him. Take him. Christian, we don't need to live this life in a bed of ease. Need to live for Jesus. Father, help us now. We see the truth of the verses. Help us to live the truth of the verses we've seen for Jesus' sake. Amen.